I'm talking about methods to prepare an introduction. This topic was given to me by the president. Y'all pray for me. My voice is out of whack with this allergy. This allergy season, but Lord is kind nonetheless. Methods to prepare an introduction. Every sermon needs to have some sort of introduction. Now, an introduction to a sermon is ideally the beginning of our presentation, but it's the end of our preparation. Introduction, let's put it this way. The introduction is the bow on the present. Introduction is the bow on the present. You don't put the bow on at the beginning. You wrap the present. You box it. You wrap it. And then you put the bow on it. And yet the bow is the first thing that the person to whom the gift is given will encounter. You'll see the wrapping. What's the point? The best introductions are generally developed at the end of preparation. At the end of your sermon preparation. When I was growing up, the preacher used to say that you're going to tell the people what you're going to say. You're going to tell, then you're going to say it. And then you're going to tell them what you said. All right. And I don't have anything different than what Dr. Sampson said on last week. Amen. He just said it better than I could. Amen. The introduction is a promise. Amen. And that introduction is an introduction. You got the introduction, you have the body, you have the conclusion. I wasn't here last week, but through technology, I could hear him. But let me say this. The Spirit of God is intelligent, and the Spirit of God is orderly. Don't lie on the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost deals in introductions and conclusions. When you read the book of Genesis, you know you read the introduction. You know that there's an introduction element and feeling to it. And when you get to the book of Revelation, you know you are reading a conclusion. The gospel writers, each of them have an introduction and a conclusion. Letters of Paul have an introduction and a conclusion. These things are distinct and identifiable. Indistinguishable rambling is not a sermon. Not a sermon. It can hardly be identified as having come from God. It's having come from God. God is a God of order. What is my point? The way you think about a sermon will have a lot to do with the outcome of your sermonic presentation. The way you think about it, the way you build it, the way you see it as being structured. Amen. The introduction is the first way the listeners will encounter your sermon. First way, and a first impression is a lasting impression. Your title, even your title, is a part of your introduction. Brother, how many times have we been turned off by a preacher? By his choice of words or phrases or even sometimes his illustrations. That's why it's so important to be prayerful when we're preparing and constructing our message. I have a couple in my church, and they are having some fertility issues, and they had just come back from New York, somewhat disappointed about the outcome. And the Holy Ghost, when I was going to preach the Holy Ghost, in my sermon scheduling, I was coming up on preaching on Hannah. And the Holy Ghost said, no, don't preach that this week. Don't preach that. It's important, amen, to be prayerful. So that God can guide not only our sermon, but our words, our choices of illustrations and so forth and so on in our sermon. Amen? Amen. The goal of an introduction, is to arrest the people's attention. To introduce the topic. And to reveal the conclusion. In the introduction. To arrest the people's attention. When you take the platform, the people are looking at you and they're subconsciously saying to themselves, is this worth listening to? Is this worth listening to? And your job is to get them to think, okay, I'm interested in this. Go on. It's your job to present it in such a way that in the introduction, they begin to anticipate the journey. So you arrest their attention. You get them to pay attention. And then it is to secondly introduce your topic. Ideally, your introduction contains your thesis. And I always use the term ideally so much because, amen, it's not one way to do no anything. Amen.
Right.
But there are some general methods, general standards. And I'm still working on it too, Dr. Hill. You know, I'm still, this is my 42nd year preaching, but I'm still working on it, trying to get it down. Amen.
Amen.
But ideally, it contains your thesis. It contains your main idea, what you are saying and what you are saying about that. Amen. That's important in the introduction. And then to reveal your conclusion. As a matter of fact, a good introduction will reinforce your conclusion. Because we know where we're going. And because we know where we're going, we know when we got there. When we have arrived. Amen. And in an introduction, there are some introduction hazards. Mm-hmm. There's some hazards. To name a few.
Yes, sir.
You can fail before you start. You can fail before you start. You know how? By not clearly stating what you're talking about. The introduction needs to reveal your destination. At the conclusion, your listeners will feel a type of what I call sermonic affirmation.
Yeah.
Man, we made it. We arrived. We got there. He said he was taking us here, and I see it.
All right.
I see exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
Man, he put that thing together.
Yeah.
That's what you want at the end. But it starts at the beginning. Starts at the beginning. Now, there's a hazard. Not clearly stating what you're talking about. Then there's another hazard. You can put yourself behind the ball and be playing catch up the whole sermon by not clearly knowing what you were talking about. Now, if you don't know what you're talking about, you sure won't tell them what you're talking about. Amen. If you don't know where you're going, you they won't know either.
Yeah, right.
And you probably will never get there. You'll never get there. Amen. And some preachers can be so frustrating. You sitting there listening to them and they wonder why folk going to sleep. Man, what, some preaching is not enjoyable. Because it's not going anywhere. It's just rambling and going on from point to point, all over the place. You don't, come on, let's be honest. Amen, let's be honest. How you think about your sermon is going to determine the outcome. Going to determine the outcome. Here's another hazard. You can run the risk of what I call a downhill sermon by your introduction setting an expectation you can't deliver on. Yeah. This usually happens when you prepare an introduction before textual development. For textual development.
Yes, sir.
How you prepare will determine the coherency of your message. You have to pull your introduction, your title, you have to pull your conclusion, you have to pull all of that from the body of your message. That's how it becomes coherent. Some folk, they hear a good title. Man, I'm going to preach that thing. And they like the title. They picked it up from somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
And the title don't match the text.
Right.
It don't match the body.
Right.
I'll be back.